your seriousness about your job.
Well, I don't think necessarily about your own image as well. Yeah. It's about the confidence that you get when you get up in the morning. Like, I love wearing high heels because I'm quite short. And, you know, it gives me that, I don't know, like, I feel better about myself when I do. Yeah. But that's my choice. And, like, I'm not going to turn around to somebody
told
and say...
on your presenting job that you have to wear high shoes, how would you feel about that?
Well, I think, first of all, if I signed a contract that there was a dress code built into it saying you have to wear them, and I signed that contract and then came to work the first day wearing flats, then, I have every right to be reprimanded if I signed up to it. But I would say that, I suppose, okay, ultimately, someone's shoes are not going to affect their ability to do their job.
Except
and
if you're an air stewardess in Aer Lingus, how glamorous are they? And it's in their contract to dress in such a way. However, they are required to wear flats on the plane during flights.
That's right.
Because how hard would it be to evacuate a plane when you're in high heat?
Absolutely.
No, I don't know what the story is with Ryanair, but certainly I know about Aer Lingus.
Now, Anna Geary is here because, of course, the Here Come the Girls will be here at this time every week. Three against one. It's very unfair. Imma O'Shea, News Talk's Drive producer.
We're not sorry for you.
Yeah. Teresa Loberg as a barrister. And Anna Geary, formerly Cork Camogie Gavin. And I'm only going to address this question to Anna, if you don't mind.
No problem.
Oh, thanks.
You really brought gender equality to the fore in the All-Ireland final. In fact, worse, I have never seen in a shake hands before a match people getting thumped. And the Cork women were thumping the poor, feminine, weak Kilkenny.
Hey, exactly. Any person during Kilkenny with the All-Ireland, so I certainly wouldn't call them weak. Now, first of all, I'll ask you a question by saying, how many matches in GAA do you see that start with a shaking hand? Will you see Dublin and Mayo on Sunday lining up inches away from each other shaking each other's hands? No, you don't. And personally, I don't think that formality is necessary or, I suppose, like, needed at the very, very beginning of a game. Because what it does is you have to remember, these girls are men or women. At the beginning of an All-Ireland final, your emotions are high, there's tension palpable, you've got, you know, two teams that are deliberately sitting. And, like, you know, I think it was probably perfect timing from RTE's point of view that they had the camera. The camera could have been on President Higgins, could have been on the stand, could have been anybody. It happened to be on the shaking hands.
Can I say, I was very, very disappointed. By your lovely producer, Claire. I was looking forward to seeing a good all round. There wasn't. There was a very playful shouldering and a very gentle shove back. And you know something? So it was nothing really. It was probably,
Absolutely,
if I was a media wit, I'd say a storm in a B cup, and I won't come back.
Oh, it's a good job I didn't say that.
In this case, it is only about being passionate and only about being competitive. And you see these Premier League soccer players.
So bloody lucky, George.
Why are they so irate? Why are they so angry?
Three women
because
on
that's
with
why
him.
They were in the team.
God,
in the
I'd
first
love
place.
Such a
passion
job.
And competitiveness.
And look,
that's
I mean, she continued on and shook the rest of the girls' hands. It wasn't like there was a big melee started.
Okay.
But like, so I'm not giving you the drama you're looking for, George.
Lest this be seen as a female topic event. The tipping I have always found a disgusting process, Eamon, on the basis that people should not be paid, particularly in America, should not be paid enough money to live and they have to rely on tips, is demeaning. And now we're seeing hotels in Cumbria, I stayed in a hotel in Boston. Increasingly we're seeing hotels say, look, we're paying our staff enough, don't tip them. What do you think?
Well, that's fantastic if it's true. Like, this hotel in Cumbria that seems to pay their staff minimum wage and offer them reduced accommodation as well, and they have explicitly told their customers not to tip because they pay their staff enough and they want them to instead return frequently as customers. And, like, that is great, but this, I think the difficult thing for us, like in America, you know you need to tip because they're not balancing out their wages, so if you don't tip you're actually shortchanging the staff, and that's probably why the prices will be higher if there weren't tips. But it's snuck over here now, hasn't it, to Ireland, and so then I certainly, and it's that real plight Irishness, you're in the hairdressers, like even I haven't done any petitions, but I definitely tip in the hairdressers, you wonder about throwing in something for a coffee, you go out for dinner,
it's a real
rambling
conversation,
isn't
it?
And you want to say thanks for great service and a lovely meal,
but
then we're paying higher rates for the service.
I personally would tip
for the quality of a service. And yeah. I do tip my hairdresser and my beautician, anyone that I feel. But at the same time, though, we only tip, unfortunately, in this country for some things. Like, I will turn around and say, I don't tip my mechanic when he does a great service in my car. I don't tip my accountant. So why don't I tip?
But this is about service charge.
This is
service charge in restaurants. And, you know, I don't know if people are aware, you're not legally bound to pay the service charge. It's a discretionary payment. And if you don't like the service, you can go up to the maitre d' or whoever, your waiter, and say, would you mind taking that off the bill?
And I'm not going to pay that. Nobody has that kind of courage.
Well, you know what?
God, I might do that.
I think linking also your tip to a percentage of the overall bill is wrong. If you think somebody's worth a fiver or a tenner, by all means, pay them. But the reason in America why the waiters can be very aggressive about getting their tips, well, it's worse than that. The IRS assess hospitality workers for tax on their tips. So if they're running out the door after you, asking you, were you not happy with the service, it's because they are going to be taxed by the IRS, despite whether you have tipped them or not. So they need the money.
It's crazy. Did you know that, George?
I didn't, but I'm just agog that you think there is somebody with enough testosterone to go up and say, I'm not paying the 15%. In fact, can I say, the opposite is true. There's a service charge, then they hand you the credit card receipt with the word gratuity in large letters,
in
which you're supposed to put more.
So do you tip, George?
You should pay.
Well, I have to tell you something. One, all my children, like most people who have adult children, their children were on J-1s or whatever, so they were all waiters and waitresses. Yeah. So they give their father a bollocking if he doesn't get 0.1.
I don't think you tip your hair in this situation. You might need to start tipping your hair.
And then the second thing is, and please forgive me saying this, since I got famous, I tend to tip a little more generously because I have this horror of some taxi driver saying to his mates, your man Hook was in the car today and he didn't tip.
I just love his voice.
Yeah. But the taxi driver sounds like Hook.
They talk about you anyway, George, whatever you do.
But I'm a good tipper. The hairdresser's interesting. Men don't tip hairdressers.
But there's not really any... Well, barbers, I was going to say there's less skill involved in the male haircut while the female readers rely on their hairdresser.
I disagree. They would think that
it's men would take it. I think men very much... And probably because it's cheaper for a man.
But
a man
there is a certain pressure.
You know, so that they could well afford it.
There is a pressure, though. I mean, like, you want to be... I
always have a debate.
A lot of the time. And, like, as I said...
About whether I should tip my hairdresser.
I get to not give a tip if I don't feel the service is good. And now I give it based... And I can justifiably walk away that if I feel, well, my dinner took too long or I wasn't happy with that.
Yeah.
But then, at the other days, I feel, oh, that was really nice.
It's all about the service. And I went to eat the food. It's the service. If the service is great, absolutely, they you know...
But we see, then that begs the question as well. Does that tip go into a jar or for everybody
or
go to your
dad?
Another question.
Now, my guests, of course, you will recognise in a couple of weeks, you'll know them without me telling you. Theresa Lowe, broadcaster, barrister, and common sense person who does quiz shows with George Hook. Annie Geary, formerly the Cork Camogie captain, now all sorts of important things. And Emma O'Shea, who keeps the News Talk Drive team in order. Now, what about this? When is GAA going to change the awful patronising term ladies' football to women's football, says Liam? And then,
totally agree. Totally agree.
The discretionary service charge goes to the restaurant, Teresa. It doesn't go to the staff necessarily.
Mm, so they'll get nothing.
Well, they mightn't. It depends on the people. And Patrick in Carrick Mines, it says it's crazy tipping a hairdresser.
Let me tell you, if your hair is good, then the rest will fall into place. So if anybody, I would advise to
I'm just worried the therapist in the world is your hairdresser.
She knows everything.
I'm just worried that you're going to get some wait staff fired now.
I think you feel very exposed
that you don't have to pay the
in front of your hairdresser.
Storming up to the front of a restaurant demanding it's taken off.
Whatever about having the mojo, there's a word, to go up to say to the waiter, I want you to take that off. But I definitely think that if you weren't happy with the service or if it was dreadful, you could do your own calculation there and see what the bill is minus the 12.5% and pay that. If they have any issue with that, say, I'm not paying the service charge, I wasn't happy.
Yeah. there was a great
bring your calculator, Teresa, to the hairdresser.
Only you probably remember Esther Williams, right?
Very well.
Esther was a film star. She only swam like that. So all the films were swimming. And in fact, in Cork,
she was an Olympic swimmer, wasn't she?
Yeah, but there was a fish shop in Cork, and it says if it swims, we have it. And somebody says, "Can I have Esther Williams?" But anyway, she made a movie about a woman who swam the Channel, and she was an Australian woman who swam the Channel, and she came in a one-piece suit. Whereas at this time, in the early 20th century, you know, they were going in their pajamas.
Yeah.
Where do we stand on burkini bans?
It's ridiculous. Well, are we going to ban the wetsuit? Are all surfers going to have to go surfing in bikinis and little...
So you think...
Oh, that's a great point.
Should be allowed
I like that.
Swimming, whatever they're swimming.
Of course, though. Are we going to start stopping middle-aged or women who don't want to wear a bikini and say, sorry, no more one-pieces, bikinis only, love? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it doesn't address the incredibly complicated issue they're trying to address. And last time I checked, extreme Islam wasn't perpetrated by middle-aged or older women who are more traditionally going to end up wearing a burkini on the beach.
Yeah.
Doesn't all the research show and those horrendous attacks in the past year show that it's young radicalised Muslim men? I really don't think going after their granny is going to solve the problem.
Yes or no on the ban,
well,
Teresa?
If you're going to talk about the burkini and of course the description for people that don't know about it, it's where the face and the hands and the feet are exposed, and they could be on the beach wearing this thing, but there's a hood, but everything else is covered up apart from those 3 areas. If you're going to talk about the burkini, you have to talk about the burqa, and the whole idea of the burqa is there is no doubt about this is sexism in the extreme. It's an expression of male dominance over the women. The women can only reveal herself to her husband and has to remain covered otherwise from head to foot, regardless of weather conditions. So that's ridiculous. I don't know whether to say hello or post a letter. That's probably a bit flippant. On a serious note, it's extremely sexist. And I think that the right, we have all of these rights and personal rights, but we have to balance them against the public interest and the public good. And in this case, there is an absolute right for identification. Everybody should be up for identification in this world of extreme terrorist acts. And so I think
I don't like
the burkini because of what it represents. I do think as an item of clothing, it's very practical.
But hold on, guys. Emer O'Shea, who, as I say, leads the world feminist movement, she's on about everything.
By the way,
why
my accent? That's the women that are married to footballers.
She didn't mean a wag.
No.
A woman is married to a footballer. It's an ancient phrase for a funny person. But all you feminists go on about everything, but you do not actually go on about Islam, which is appalling in its attitude to women.
I wouldn't say it's your ability to generalize.
George Hook hasn't
but
clue.
If you look at a story, right, because my mother, years ago when she was travelling, she went to the Dead Sea, and this is just about the idea of progression. And women years ago, all the men were lined up as the Western women walked out of the water in their bikinis, and the women, their wives, sat there in their black head to toe, and they weren't allowed to go into the water. What the burkini does, it allows them to still go into the water, still allows them to actually have a day at the beach while still be covered up.
Yeah,
and let's face it, there's a lot of women in this country and around the world that are very, very, I suppose, their self-esteem is quite low when it comes to their own bodies, and we throw t-shirts over our bikinis and we wear shorts and t-shirts into the water. So if you're going to stop somebody and say it's to do with religion, then you have to start doing
change
it.
Change the name.
Yeah.
For
okay,
everybody.
But Emer, quickly.
Beach is not the place to fight extremism, George. That's a separate issue. And the issue of people committing atrocities in the name of Islam is a separate issue to women who just want to go to the beach. Do I have to go home to my nieces and nephew in Kilkenny and say, sorry now, no more wearing of the wetsuit to the beach to stave off sunburn?
Yeah, what I find with you feminists is you always win the argument.
Just to clarify one point about my own views, I'm saying this as much to myself probably as any, well, in fact, I'm mainly saying this to myself to try and get clear, but the view of Islam that George Hook is railing against is not Islam in my mind. It's that bloody thing that calls itself Islam that comes out of Saudi Arabia. comes out of the Middle East. I couldn't tell you exactly where it comes out of the Middle East, where there are a piddly number of Muslims, a tiny number of Muslims. I mean, in terms of the total world population of Muslims, there's almost none in the Middle East. That's just a small little place with a tiny number of populations. The real Islam is Indonesia and Malaysia. And that's where all of these commentators that I know so familiarly from Irish radio, that's the places they know nothing about. They know nothing about. I speak passionately about this because I went to Malaysia. I had a week in Malaysia. And I found it to be an entirely agreeable experience. And I mixed with Malaysian people who were Muslim. Nearly every single person, I'd say, every person I met over there was Muslim. And I found them to be the nicest, most pleasant, most generous people that I could, you know, that I could imagine. So I hate it when people go on about Islam based upon scanty knowledge, all of which is totally dominated by the stereotype that Muslims come from Saudi Arabia.
3,000 euro if a burglar even attempts to gain access to your home. Our burglar-proof windows and doors also come with energy-saving eco-glass as standard.
Oh, well, that's the end of that. That's the end of that program. That was the first... George Hook has been shifted. He's been driven out of the 4:30 where he's been running a thing called the George Hook Show. I think it was just called George Hook Show for as long as anyone can remember him on the radio. And he's now been shifted to lunchtime. A bold move by News Talk management. They had to get rid of the George Hook Show because George Hook will retire, and they really do want people to be tuning in to News Talk during the 4 o'clock till, you know, 6:30 or 7 o'clock slot, which is the drive time slot. Which, anyway, that's enough about that, and enough about George Hook. Bring back the women. I'm much more interested in the women, even if I'm much more amused by George.